Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Journeys with Rebecca. Well, I am so happy to be with you here on BBS Radio. Remember, I can be heard on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That's 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific time. So thanks for listening, and thank you to everyone at BBS Radio. You know, I hope you will take the time to visit my website. That's www.journeyswithrebecca.com. Because there you can find all the latest Journeys news, guest links, all kinds of information. You can even find out how to schedule a private reading with me. Again, that's journeyswithrebecca.com. Please don't forget Journeys is sponsored by Fate Magazine. It's been published continuously since 1948. Fate is the longest running publication of its kind, supplying its loyal readership with a broad array of true accounts of the strange and unknown for nearly 60 years. Please visit their website, that's www.fatemag.com. You can also check that link out on the front page of Journeys with Rebecca as well. Now, you know, I have been doing Journeys with Rebecca for nearly 4 years. A regular guest on my show is Nancy Miller Ogren, and she is my guest tonight. Nancy is an astrologer and numerologist. She has combined her various interests and created through both pathways and moonwise opportunities for people to create the life they were meant to live. For the last 30 years, she's been working with people through private consultations, workshops, and radio appearances, helping people to achieve more confidence and passion in their lives. Nancy's web address is nancymillerogren.com. We'll be right back with Nancy Miller Ogren.
Have questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back to Journeys with Rebecca. And as promised, we have our guest, Nancy Miller Ogren, here with us today. We are going to kind of tie in yesterday's show to the astrological events that's been going on and that's going on. And I would like to take this opportunity to welcome Nancy to the show. Hi, Nancy.
Hi there. It's good to be here.
You know what? Just so the listeners out there know, you know, you and I have quite a relationship, in my opinion.
Me too.
And we talk quite a bit. Some of the conversations that you and I have had about different astrological events and just the whole concept of astrology has just, I wish we could have recorded some of it, because I think people would be just blown away by some of the information that comes through astrology. And the thing that I want to just kind of say up front before we get started into what's happening in the stars, which you're going to be educating us on, is the fact that I feel like that society as a whole has taken astrology and not really paid as much attention to it as obviously we did in the times of the ancients, which that's what they lived by, was the stars.
Absolutely.
And they recognized the influence that it had on us here on this earth, as well as all the other planets that we don't know anything about because we're not there, and it just affects so many levels of our existence, and the earth itself is just, it just absolutely is astounding, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And I think we need to educate people on the subtleties of all of this, that we need to get back to that flow, the ebb and flow of the energies, and that's what we're here for, is to educate. And just so that everyone else knows, you will be a regular on this show, as you have been in the past, so that we can keep up to date and so that people can get a grasp on how they need to handle the different changes and what's really going on.
Uh-huh.
Sen, we have a kind of a special event coming up this week here. I think it's going to be this evening.
Yes.
After this is aired. So
right.
I'm going to kind of let you just get right into it, Nancy, and we'll kind of bounce things off as we go.
Well, first of all, a week ago, we had the spring equinox, and I truly believe that the year really starts at 00 Aries, because that is truly the beginning of the zodiac year. Now, I think your guest yesterday talked about the precession of the equinoxes, and it's true that as thousands of years go by, it's still 00 Aries, but it's somewhere in the middle of Pisces, and that's kind of, you know, convoluted and hard to explain. But the truth is still, energetically, 00 Aries begins a new year. And that's what we did last week. And now, later tonight, we have an Aries solar eclipse new moon. And an Aries solar eclipse is always on the new moon. A lunar eclipse is always on a full moon. And we had a full moon eclipse 2 weeks ago in Virgo. So this is truly, truly a new beginning. We are starting a new year now. We are starting our personal commitment to ourselves for this next year, because a solar eclipse energy lasts a full year. A lunar eclipse energy, which usually, or a full moon usually energy lasts a month. This lunar eclipse lasts about 3 months or so, but a solar eclipse lasts a year. And a year ago, we had a solar eclipse in Aries. So this is part two.
So what did, let's before you move on, let's explain the year ago. What was that one about? I mean, you've already told us that it's part of a new year.
Yes.
But what was its,
well, and it's a series. We have eclipses, solar and lunar, in two to three signs, mostly two sets of opposite signs, because the full moon is always six signs opposite the new moon. It's very much about opposites. And, for instance, the six signs opposite Aries is Libra. So the very different, Libra is air, Aries is fire. Very different dynamics. And so we actually started this series of eclipses in 1987. And there was an eclipse on March 29th, 1987, at 8 degrees, which is where this one is tonight. So the truth is, it's not just 2 years in a row. This whole cycle started. And if you think back to your life in 1987, that was really the beginning of this cycle.
And, you know, as you're sitting there saying that, I'm turning back the hands of time here. And I'm like, wow, I remember 1987 or thereabouts and what was going on in my life at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly did. It started a 10-year journey for me.
Yes, it did. It absolutely did. And again, that's the thing about cycles. And again, about the, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about precession of the equinoxes. But when you think that an age, an astrological age, for instance, the age of Pisces, or we all know since, you know, the 70s that this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, but it is. And those are 2,000-year cycles that we are affected by as a civilization. And like I said, I want to talk about that later, but this is huge, because people have said to me, I teach astrology classes, and people have said to me, I can't remember 19 years ago. I can't remember 1987. And I say, give it a few days and let it kind of drift in as memories, because you will. And then somebody else said, oh, I remember, well, my child was born on that day, that year. And so there's some anchoring there if you put a little time to it. And again, these 2 years in a row are very important, very important. Because last year, you were sort of disengaging from those that have hooked into you, situations that hold you limited, awarenesses that, boy, this doesn't serve me, or I am so antsy and agitated because I want to do something new and different, and I don't know what that is. That's what last year was about. This year, this from here to next March, is taking all of that and manifesting it into form in your life. You've recognized where your limits are, where you're hooked in, where maybe you've finally gotten the picture, maybe you took extra classes, whatever you did last year that was recognition of what needs to be different. This is manifestation this year. It's like we got a hall pass twice.
Well, I like them hall passes.
Yeah, and, I do too, because you don't want that out there.
I'm listening very carefully to what you're saying, and I'm turning back the pages from a year ago to now, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. It really is like, I made a whole lot of, a lot of things came into my awareness about my surroundings, about my environment, and about the hooks. Interesting. Okay, good. Okay.
And then what this is about too is for those who might know these things about their chart, where is 8 degrees of Aries in your chart? Because that's exactly where this eclipse is going to be. Wherever everybody has 8 degrees of Aries in their chart, because we have all the degrees of all the signs in our chart. We have our sun somewhere, we have our moon somewhere, our ascended, and then even where there's no planets, we have the energetic space of 8 degrees of Aries.
Okay.
Because we have all of the degrees.
Right.
So when I look at somebody's chart to specifically talk to them, I say, okay, this is the house that 8 degrees is Aries is in. This is what it is conjunct, which means what other planets does it aspect to closely, and what other aspects are there and whatnot. But truly, it really is about this is where you're resonating this for this next year. And that makes a world of difference in how you're going to look at this next year. Again, thinking you're you and being confused about the activities and the actions and the events that take place around you, if they don't feel like it's you, understand that a bigger force has come in and said, I need you to move along.
Yeah, I know about them forces.
Absolutely.
And I really think at this point what I'd like to interject here is that, you know, we talked about this before we went on air today about making people aware of the subtle energies. I mean, because it's not like somebody's opening a door or making a phone call or sending you a letter about this. It's about becoming a little bit more aware of the subtleties of the energies around the planet movements within the environment, your world, as you see it, as well as your own personal space, and how it may affect others.
Exactly.
Because we just came out of a long period of Mercury retrograde.
Yes, we did.
And I'm going to tell you, normally Mercury retrograde doesn't affect me like that, but I'm going to tell you everything electronic, anything, communications, phones, computers, emails, anything that could have went wrong, did.
Yes, indeed.
And I missed phone calls. I'd call people back. They'd miss mine. I mean, it was just an absolutely frustrating time.
And I think it was, I think it was broadly felt that way. I do. And again, Mercury was in Pisces. That's an air energy. Mercury rules the one of the air signs. I mean, that's air energy, and that's fast communication and movement and ideas and all of that. Well, when the planet is moving, it isn't moving backwards, but when it appears that it's moving away, it actually opens a space for review. And according to the sign Mercury's in when it's retrograde, and this time it was Pisces, it wasn't conducive to going ahead and moving through. Pisces would have, and that was the thing, well, why do we need to focus on communicating? Let's meditate and dream and rest and fantasize, and let's don't have any forward motion, shall we?
Let's just sit in the space for the moment. Just stay there.
And see, Pisces isn't confined to time and space. And so this wasn't a good match either.
No.
And then there was, and the retrograde says, let's review. So if there are things, again, in life that aren't quite where they should be, Mercury says, you're going to have to look at the you're going to have to look at this from some format or another. And like for you, it was, and for a number of people, believe me, to communicate, to get a communication from point A to point B was almost impossible. It just didn't happen nicely and smoothly.
No, it was pretty ugly. In my opinion.
Yeah, it was tough. And people, during Mercury retrograde, that's the other thing that I always say, I listen to people's ideas, you know, like somebody will say, don't you think we ought to do this? How about doing this? And I think, okay. And I always say, I'll certainly look at that. Let's talk about that in a couple of weeks, because it's usually a three-week retrograde. Let's talk about that in a couple of weeks, because they might not even think that in 3 weeks. So you can't be, like, basing the rest of your life on a statement somebody made March 6th.
Yeah, right in the middle of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, and I will tell you, the Mercury retrograde this year seemed to be even, I don't know, stronger, or maybe I was just more sensitive to it. I don't know. It just seemed to really create much more intensity.
Right. And part of that also was that the degrees of Mercury, when it went backwards, it passed over Uranus that's in Pisces for 12 years, and we're about 5 years, midway through that. Well, Uranus is the planet of breakthrough and transformation and revolution. So, the Pisces energy is, we're having a spiritual revolution this 12 years of Uranus in Pisces, but Mercury passes over it and we're confused. Are we supposed to rise up and march, or should we just stay here and read this book on, you know, wonderful fairies? And how do we do this? And I'm not belittling Pisces. No. I love Pisces. And I love the fact that we get to multidimensionally exist in Pisces and connect with other realms. I had a phenomenal breakthrough of another realm during a massage in Pisces a few weeks ago. So I'm tickled when it's Pisces, because I don't get that all the rest of the year.
Take advantage of it while you can.
I did, but Mercury and Uranus together, and then Mercury moving backwards, did not help us.
I really feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't motivational.
No. It was quite challenging, to say the least.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about this eclipse that came up a year ago, and we talked a little bit about that, and now we have another year of that same energy. So, and we just came out of this Mercury retrograde, which, when you were talking, the way I'm kind of tying it in mentally here, is that the last year of this eclipse was about taking stock and beginning to let go of or recognizing at least things that have hooks in you or what have you. And then we have the Mercury retrograde, which is also pretty interesting, because I think it's like a huge push to a vestige of, boy, there's a whole bunch of stuff that really isn't working, is it? It's just kind of like, for me, it kind of just compiled it.
Yes, it did.
And then it seemed like one day I woke up and I was like, you know, the world's okay again.
Yes, that's right. And you can feel it. And, of course, as soon as we hit 00 Aries last week, as soon as we got into that fire again, we really did feel like, and now we'll even more so with this, you really will feel rejuvenated. And, again, it's those huge cycles. And because, like we've talked about, ritual and ceremony is so important, but the changing of the seasons and the events of the moon every month are so important to our whole well-being. It's so important.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, just like we talked, you know, ritual, ceremony, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
we really do need to connect. I think we started out this whole show with talking about the subtle energies. And, again, it's not somebody opening a door, sending you an email, or sitting down in front of you having the conversation going, okay, this is what, you know, making you consciously aware in a very mundane fashion.
Uh-huh.
This is about becoming sensitive to the energies around you and the planet movements and,
uh-huh.
and what they do affect. I mean, there is no one that I've ever spoken with that's ever said that, you know, when there's a full moon that it doesn't affect people.
Uh-huh. That's true.
I mean, it's, you know, that's something that science is, has no problem talking
exactly.
About the full moon.
Exactly. They agree to that.
Yes.
They absolutely do. And that, as I said before many times, so people have listened to you or, and me know that the way I feel too about astrology is I'm not concerned about whether you believe it. I'm not concerned whether you know where 8 degrees Aries is in your chart, because it's going to affect you. Those energies are a part of your life, whether you have zero knowledge or lots of knowledge. And so you're going to benefit this year. So you're going to benefit from where this is and how it's going to encourage you to go a little further and take a little more risk at expanding your life. And you've got the best ally you could have, an enthusiastic Aries solar eclipse.
Well, let's just, we got about a minute and a half or a little less for, of this particular segment.
Okay.
Why don't we just talk briefly about what is the energy of Aries itself for people out there who may not be astrologically minded?
Well, Aries is a fire sign. It's the first sign of the zodiac. There are 12 signs. And it is the fire sign. Their elements are earth, water, fire, and air. And this is a fire sign, and this is really, like I said, this is an awakening. This is when we get to spring and 00 Aries, we're starting to awaken, and the earth starts to awaken. We're awakening. We're making plans. That's why we have spring cleaning. So Aries is about forward motion. What are your plans? What are you doing? What do you want? How do you want to do it? Where do you want to go? Action. Lots of action.
Okay, so we've got that with the Aries. So
yes.
You guys hang on, because we got more to talk about. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Nancy Miller Ogren and Journeys with Rebecca.
At Fate Magazine, they recognize the impossible can be possible. We explore the unknown so that it can be known. From personal accounts of ghosts and UFOs to scientific examination of psychic phenomena and earth mysteries, Fate's main purpose continues to be honest reporting and open discussion of the strange and the unknown. So log on to www.fatemag.com or call 1-800-728-2730.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. And again, we are here with Nancy Miller Ogren. We have just had a wealth of information, Nancy, in the last segment, in regards to the eclipse coming up, in regards to the past, which was the Mercury retrograde, and talking about that Aries eclipse of a year ago, and today even as we speak, in some time zones that may already be happening, the eclipse, depending on where you're at when you're listening to it, I think would be appropriate to say.
Uh-huh.
And we have just got so much more to share, so I'm just going to kind of let you just kind of run with it.
Well, a couple of things. Again, the qualities of Aries that we talked about. And I just want to talk a little bit about every new moon, but particularly on a solar eclipse that's going to affect you for a year, that if you do 10 intentions and use qualities, if you don't know Aries qualities, using very strong qualities like active and exuberant and openings and resourceful and inquisitive, those kind of, if you use those words, those types of words, optimistic, forward-looking, those kind of things, and you write 10 intentions, and an intention would look like, I'm repeating a couple that I've written, I am committed to new beginnings and new cycles in my life. and I am open and exuberant about, and then you fill in what that would be. And you're really anchoring those intentions for the whole next year. That is what your psyche will keep coming back to. And if you do this every month on a new moon and write some intentions, and then on the full moons you write affirmations, which means you're celebrating what's happening. And you're excited and you're enthused and all of that. So I thought maybe in this segment we could talk about you.
Oh, how fun is that going to be?
Oh, that's going to be great fun.
I'm all for it. Let's go for it.
Okay, and you are an Aquarius by birth. And so we're 8 degrees Aries. This is an example of how we personalize a chart or an event like this. And for you, 8 degrees of Aries is in your fifth house, which in astrology, each house starting with the first has the qualities of the signs in order. So the first house is Aries house. But in your chart, Aries is in your fifth house, which is Leo's natural house. So in my classes, we call it the fun house.
I've known a few of Leos. They were lots of fun.
They are lots of fun. Because the qualities of Leo are creativity, enthusiasm, opening to the inner child, bringing things forth, being ready, you know, being excited, being available. And so for you in that fifth house, in your natal chart, that is very much what I think you're doing for this. I think you've always got a lot of enthusiasm. But I do think that this is your chance this year to anchor in what you want to bring into manifestation. I think there's no question about that. You've gone through a lot, but this is forward motion.
Forward moving.
Forward moving. And then progressed, which is you do a day for a year, and you run a chart however many years you are. You run a chart for that many days in the future from your birthday, and that's a progress chart.
Okay. Now, I've went to a lot of astrologers, Nancy, and no one's ever told me how they arrive at that.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, there's differences, too. You can do transits on a birth chart, and that's a little bit different. This progression is another way to do transits is what's going on now in the sky compared to your birth chart. And this progress chart is where everything has moved in the number of years you've been here.
Okay.
So so you, interestingly enough, progress sun, that's why I mentioned your natal sun is Aquarius, but your progress sun is in Aries, and it's in your fourth house, progressed. And what's happening here, and it is conjunct, the degrees that your sun is conjunct this sun moon. That means it's close enough to be aspecting it, and that just doubles the energy. So what's happening, and it's in your fourth house, and I always say the fourth house is sort of the shorthand of the fourth house is family of origin, but it's also about your environment that you create. And so I think anybody over 20, I go to more the what are you creating as an environment for yourself. And you started last year creating this environment, and first it meant you had to clear things and change and get rid of things that didn't serve you.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And so part two, this year going forward, you're establishing a new environment that offers you more of that coming into form, what you truly want your life to be manifested as. So you're taking more charge of it. You were a little bit, you had to abide by a lot of other people's input last year. This year, I think it's going to be more about what you are.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And that really does fit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had and of course, you know, we know each other a little bit, so I had a lot of things that went on last year that I felt I had to do, not because I wanted
mm-hmm.
to, but I felt like I had to do for
mm-hmm.
whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree, and I think it was really about clearing all of that so that you were literally vibrating at a lighter level, at a much more at a level where you yourself could manifest and serve others much, much clearer.
It fits.
Yeah, it does.
It does. It fits.
And it's exciting.
It is. Oh. Well, can I ask you while you're sitting there, and I don't know how much information you have in front of you, but let's see, when was it last Tuesday? A week ago Wednesday, it was exactly a week ago. I don't really want to call it an epiphany, but it was like I woke up and I literally felt like I was me again. I haven't felt like me in a very long time. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I do think as soon as the sun, even though it was just this last week, but I think at the end of Pisces, we really started feeling like we were leaving the Pisces energy and approaching the Aries energy even before it moved in. You're exactly right. You anchored back into your own true self, I think.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. And again, particularly since you have your progressed sun in Aries, that's very much what's going on for you.
Okay.
And again, I think that's why this business about whatever, even if you can't sit and write those intentions again, tonight, although it's for almost everybody well after midnight that this is going on. So even the East Coast, and the West Coast, it's in the middle of the night.
Okay.
So anything that anyone can do to just notice that commitment, ideally, I would love everybody to run a bath and light some candles and have a bath before they go to bed. But a nice shower would even be good. Standing in running water and committing to a new beginning is so ritually wonderful.
And it is. And truly, I do that when I have, I don't even know how to word it exactly, when I have things that I really am focused on in more of a spiritual aspect, I will go take a bath, or if I can't take the time, I do take a shower. I do some kind of a cleansing ritual.
Absolutely.
And, we talked a little bit about this, off the air about ritual and ceremony. And, we are all ritual people. We get up in the morning at certain times. We brush our teeth at certain times, or before we eat breakfast or after we eat breakfast. Some people don't eat breakfast. They have Coke or coffee, tea. But we all have these rituals that we do each and every day as we prepare for the day. These things that we've asked people to do, and I have asked them in my classes, please, before you do any kind of work, whatever the work is, make sure you go and you cleanse yourself and you get yourself focused and with intent.
Absolutely.
And it's no different than I brush my teeth at 7:15 and I'm out the door at 7:20, whatever the case may be. So I think people make it a little harder than it really needs to be.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you, and it's the same with meditation. People say to me, how many hours do you meditate a week? And I say, well, I meditate in the shower, so 10 minutes times 7 days. That's when I just release everything and stand in peace. And I let that water flow over me, and I'm so open and available, and I can just feel when you feel like you're in touch completely, those moments are when I really get the most information and the most inspired. And then I may go write for a while if I have time, if I don't have clients, whatever. But it really isn't about sitting half the day. It's about intention. Always about intention. So if you want to hear what the guidance is, stand in the shower, sit quietly for a few minutes, like you say, have some tea, light a candle, whatever it takes. But we as Westerners really need to bring ritual back in to our awareness.
Oh, I could not agree with you more. I absolutely could not agree with you more. And I would like just to make just a real quick mention, too. You were talking about the cleansing and the clearing and the meditation that people say, how many hours a week? It's not about the quantity.
That's right.
It's about the quality. And I think some people are under a misguided impression about meditation,
uh-huh,
that you're absolutely lost to the world, in a sense, and that you're gone for hours at a time.
Uh-huh.
And that's not true.
Uh-huh.
I've actually taught a meditation class, and I have a trigger mechanism now that when I take a deep breath in with the intention of clearing myself,
uh-huh,
within 2 to 3 at the most deep breaths in and
uh-huh,
to release them, I'm in a meditative state, and I can be sitting in a crowded room anywhere and I'm meditating.
I agree.
And I can still hear, it
uh-huh,
sounds at a distance, you can still hear, you sense what's going on, but it doesn't get any farther past the recognition that there's things going on around you.
Absolutely.
You don't pay attention to them.
Correct.
Now, if there was an emergency, you would.
The
mind would override it and go, okay, time to come back.
Yep.
But, you know, it isn't about the quantity, it's about the quality. And so the shower, the bath is usually a very, very good time to do
mm-hmm,
that.
It really is. And you know you're going to do that. It's like greeting yourself in a place. Again, it's an everyday ritual that happens.
Yeah.
You're going to be in that shower standing under that water. So bring your mind out of the grocery list and open it up to a little bit more, because we really, again, these years coming forward in these next 6 years or so, we really are accessing, I believe, other realms, other realities, so to speak, and we really are doing it at a much, much faster pace than we ever have thought possible.
Oh, yes. The fact that time has sped up, I know it has.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It absolutely has.
Yeah.
And again, to know that we have these tools and these awarenesses. I was just reading not too long ago how very ancient times, when, again, the precession of the equinoxes, if we go back 8,000 to 10,000 years, those people, the stories that, and the gods and the gods mostly, the stories about the gods and the stories about Saturn and Mars and all of that, it came from people watching the heavens, and they realized these things, they were very aware of precisely where, as we know from the ruins of different countries and different civilizations, they knew where that spring equinox was going to be, obviously. And that was a long time ago, and they knew all about these energies in the sky. And a lot of the myths and legends that are confusing, my perception is that it was how they watched the planets. And when a planet maybe would even pass over another planet, they would assume, and it's somewhat like the eclipses, they would assume that the one planet ate the other one. And that's a little bit about Saturn eating his sun, or,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's how that happened.
Yeah.
And then it would come back, and they would, you know, oh, look, it's back.
Yeah, it's been reborn.
Exactly. And so a lot of those archetypal legends and stories really come from, they knew exactly where those planets were going to be in the sky. And they were not primitive. They were very advanced in what they understood the relationship between the Earth and the sky was.
Well, and really, we as a society have become so desensitized to so many things. We rely on other people, other things to tell us how to live our lives,
uh-huh,
when to live it, when to do it. And we've become very out of sync with the very natural phenomena that
uh-huh,
goes on each and every day of our lives, which is the movement of the planets.
Exactly.
Which also affects, you know, the Earth itself. Just as an example, we know there's better times to plant certain things, and there's better times to pick certain vegetables or fruits or flowers for whatever purposes
uh-huh,
we're using them for.
Uh-huh.
We know that to be a scientific fact.
Exactly.
But most of us just go, oh, well, that tomato's ripe, or that, you know, lilac's ready to be picked, or whatever it is
uh-huh,
that we're doing. But it may not necessarily be in sync with what it is. It's our eyesight that sometimes we allow to get in the way of really our intuitive sight that allows us to know when to do that.
Exactly.
And so we really, and I think about it a lot, Nancy. I'm unfortunately not a, I don't live every 24 hours a day in sync with Mother myself.
But
I try to be very aware when, you know, that I'm not.
Right.
And I try to be as in sync as my society, as my environment allows me. I'd like to be more.
Exactly. And I agree with that. And again, I'm the same way. I'm not always, I don't know everything. Sometimes people say to me, so what's going on with, you know, such and such? And I say, you know, right this minute, I don't know. I'm really not sure. But I do know that when I feel something, then I do kind of go look to see. So what's where and why is this feeling like this? And it inevitably proves itself to be true. And again, I tend to feel like, okay, I'm going to use this then. I'm going to immerse myself in this then. And I think that's, if we can occasionally, it's better than never.
Well, that's true. At least because the more that we do it, even on the occasion, occasions become closer and closer together as opposed to farther and farther apart.
Absolutely. And again, in this transition period that we're going through with Uranus in Pisces and helping spirituality to become less of a confusion and more of a stability, I really feel like we've got so much opportunity to bring such awareness to ourselves.
Yes, as individuals.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, as we become more aware, other people will notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you doing? How, because it does bring a sense of peace, an inner
peace
to itself.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And that's my sort of little mantra. I always say, if you'll emanate your truth, people will be drawn to you.
It's absolutely a true statement. That is very accurate. Because there's many people that have never advertised a thing about themselves, but yet people have flocked to them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They don't need to advertise. They don't need to do anything. It's because they're actually emulating. It's pouring from them. It's in their aura, if you will. It is in their energy field, if you will. And light will attract. It
absolutely
just will. And this next year for people. And we're almost out of time on this one, but I kind of, when we come back, I want to kind of bring this back all around for everyone to understand really what this, how tremendous this next year can be for everyone, including myself, obviously.
Sure. Well, of course.
So hang on, you guys. We'll be right back with Nancy Miller Ogren and more of Journeys with Rebecca. Don't go away. Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, it's easy to keep up with all the latest Journeys news, my upcoming guests. Just sign up to receive the Journeys newsletter. It's free, and you will never receive any junk mail. Your email is never sold or distributed. So keep up to date the easy way. Just log on to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and at the bottom of the main page, you'll see the box. Type in your email address, and you're done. And once a week or so, you'll receive all the latest Journeys news.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Bringing you back a little smoothly, we're here talking with Nancy Miller Ogren. We've been talking about the new solar eclipse coming up and also the Aries new moon. But one of the things, I have a question for you, Nancy.
Uh-huh.
You know, you were so kind to send to me in the mail one of your, it's the 2006 day book, and it's the Moonways guide.
Right.
And it's a guide for every day of the year that tells you where the moon is, if there's an eclipse. Just like it talks here about on the 29th of Aries new moon at 5:16 a.m. and that there's a solar eclipse at 5:12 p.m. And then, interestingly enough, Tuesday, the day before this, is a moon void. And also, we also have what's called banishing day right before this solar eclipse and the new moon. And what is that about?
Well, every new moon, before the day before if possible, 8 hours before the new moon if possible. And if it's not convenient, you do it a couple of days ahead. But before the new moon is at its exact degrees, you want to write a list of things you're releasing from your life. And this doesn't mean, like limits, you know, you can write people's names down, but they're obviously not going to fall off the face of the earth.
good. That's good. Yeah. I like that little.
Exactly. We're not creating something awful.
Right.
We're just creating energetic distance from people who might be negatively impacting you. So you write their name with the understanding that what you're saying is, I need energetic distance. So your banished list is that. It's about, like I said, limits, fear. You can write the things down that you feel impede your progress. And again, people, and every month, and then you either flush it or burn it. And then the next day, with every new moon, you do 10 intentions. And that's at the creating a dynamic of where you want to be focused to manifest. And those sentences, you know, a sentence long, using very positive words, like I said before, and that's what you do. But banishing day only happens with new moons. It does not happen with full moons. But you are clearing your energy space in order to, first you banish what is not so powerful in your life, and then you intend what you do want. And you then take charge of what your life flows like.
All right. Now, let me stop you right there, because we also have the solar eclipse in Aries.
Mm-hmm.
And you also said about the intentions with that. Now,
exactly.
Because they fall in within the same day.
Right.
Would someone need to, like, maybe do two separate ones that day? Or
no, you just, can do okay. Your new moon and solar eclipse. No, you're doing it the same time.
Okay.
You're doing it the same time. And that's all that's happening. And it's the same with affirmations on a full moon lunar eclipse. No, you're just writing those 10 intentions for that new moon. That's all you're doing.
Okay, good.
And then let me explain the moon voids. Moon voids happen every 2.5 days, and they can last a few minutes, they can last a few hours. What that is that the moon has moved out of the sign it was in, because it's in the sign, a sign for 2.5 days, and then it's in the next sign. When it is not in aspect to anything, that's called void of course. It does not have an aspect to any planet or the sun or anything.
Okay, okay.
And that's what it is. And what the advice is on void of course moon, is that you don't do anything really life-altering. That's not when you try not to schedule, like, that third job interview. You could schedule the first one if you wanted to, but not the one that's going to get you the job.
Get you, make you, break you kind of.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a retrograde. It just means there's no energy there to really take this forward.
Okay, got
it. And because it does happen every 2.5 days, you can't stop your life.
Well, yeah, exactly. But you can
you can notice that I don't, like, you don't maybe want to, again, have something that's important happen, or try to have a talk with somebody. If you're saying, I'd like to meet you and talk to you, you glance down and go, but maybe Wednesday.
Yeah. Or 3 o'clock doesn't work for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Could we do it a little earlier? Whatever.
Right. Okay.
It just it's a way to use energy productively is how I see it.
And really it is.
Yeah.
And I want to move along here because I want to give everyone some time here for some other things that I want to wrap up with. But
yes,
we are coming quickly upon that dreaded daylight savings time. You know,
yes,
when we were on commercial break there, I was on a terrible soapbox with that. it's not like this life-altering thing, but it is life-altering. It's like, will you just leave it alone?
Yeah.
It's going to come up and go down, and, you know, everything's going to move as it's going to move, regardless of what a clock says.
Right. Well, and I think, indeed, I think we all know that, you know, apparently there was a reason for it. It used to be they could work the farm later and have light you know, basically during
based on the clock.
Based on the clock.
Yeah, not it doesn't give us anything.
No, no. You could start earlier in the day and still have more sun after in the afternoon.
Right, right. Get up an hour earlier and go to bed an hour earlier or something.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It is disconcerting because we really do lose a natural rhythm, and that's why I think in April, I know it's hard for people.
I think it's a conspiracy.
And
no,
that.
I'm serious. That just popped in my head. And I was like, wow, that was bizarre.
Well, and
it throws you off balance, doesn't it?
It does. It very much does. And I find that it takes me a couple of weeks to feel really back in rhythm.
Yep. And then you just about get used to that, and then here comes fall.
Yes. And then you have to do it again, which is also disconcerting then, too. I find the spring one very disconcerting.
Yeah, it's harder for me in the spring because I have a natural wake-up. I just wake up naturally, so that's going to really, now it's back to the alarm clock
and
all that.
I agree.
Just not fun, and I wish they'd just leave it alone.
No,
well, what I want to do now is to let everyone know, because we've been talking about your guide that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely beneficial, and if somebody doesn't even utilize it the way that you've gotten it here, which I can't really describe it all that well, except for that on each page is a week.
Right.
And it tells you where the moon voids are, like it has a banishing day. It tells you when the new moon is and the solar eclipses. But it also has a place where you can write things.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could even make notes of writing your intentions down or whatever.
Yeah, you have on the page after, like I have a write-up for the new moon, for instance, and I tell you qualities, what the sign is, an overview of what other planets are in play. And then there is the next page where you have a place to write your intentions, and the same with the full moon.
Right.
There's an overview, and then there's a place. And people really do find that it's a journaling opportunity. They can journal there.
Yeah, without spending half of their life journaling.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, it's for those like me who I don't write well.
Right.
So it's really a quick place for me to put down my notes, my thoughts, my whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it sits right next to me so that, like, when I'm having these issues and go, wow, that's why I'm having an issue, you know?
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do is let everyone know, first of all, is how they can get your book.
You can get it on my website. It's the price is a little bit less. It's $10 and plus shipping. And my website is nancymillerogren.com, www. And my email, if you want to get on my mailing list, twice a month I send out a moon mailing about the moon that doesn't cost you anything, and all you do is email me to nancyogren@comcast.net, and you make the subject moon mailing and give, you know, your name and your email is right there. I just put you on my moon mailing list, and everybody gets every 2 weeks you hear from me.
And, you know, I get them, and I love them. And, Nancy, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And you know what? We will see you probably in the next few weeks, and we're going to catch up on the next big events.
Thanks.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Schedule your private psychic reading with Rebecca, a truly gifted intuitive and clairvoyant, and the host of Journeys with Rebecca radio show. Call 1-888-958-2768. That's 1-888-958-2768. Where will your life's journey take you?
I'd like to thank my guests tonight for sharing their wonderful information and knowledge with us. And a special thanks goes out to you, the listeners. Now, you know, the guests I have on air are given the opportunity to share their viewpoints or ideas. Now, you and I have the opportunity of choice in regards to those ideas or viewpoints. Be sure to check in next week for more enlightening educational talk and discoveries. This is Rebecca of Journeys with Rebecca. Until we meet again, where will your life's journey take you? Many blessings and good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.